when we're getting sick? What do we do when we're struggling? What do we do? You know, a lot of what we do is what happened this morning. Just letting his presence. And Stephen had just a phenomenal message on the presence of God a couple weeks ago. And just why that's one of our how we elevate that value. There's, you can only have a few things that you really have at the top of your list. And none of them are right or wrong. There's all kinds of things that churches could do well or pursue or whatever. And there's different strategies. And they're all good. Maybe not all, but like really, if they're pursuing God's heart, they're all, and like, they're not all going to look the same. There's different expressions of that. And one of the values that we have, truth was the first one he talked about. And, he's going to kill me because I can't remember the other one. But presence was the last one. And that's really the one that he spent time on. Because when the presence of God comes, that's when hearts softened. That's when healing takes place. That's when relationships are mended. That's, you know, family was the other one. And which is also what we talked about. So those three things really, really exemplify Christian Outreach Center and what we're striving for. And there's others that go with that, but those are three really big ones. But it says in James, this is what we do. Is any one of you in trouble? What do you think he's talking about? Is any one of you in trouble? This is going to be a little more different style than I usually do. It's more of what I do in youth group a lot of times, where we just kind of walk. It's like imagine Chuck Swindoll, only not nearly as funny and with about a hundredth of the knowledge. Because you know how he'll just walk through just verse by verse and kind of just open up the scriptures? And so you have to ask yourself when you're reading these, is any one of you in trouble? What does he mean by that? Is any one of you in trouble? I think it could really cover a lot. If I asked you this question, anyone ever have any trouble in your life? You know what it is. You do. You said, collectively, we do. What happens inside of us? And I'm not looking for the spiritual answer, okay, guys? Jesus, Bible, Church, Holy Spirit, you know, just what other answer is there? What's our normal, natural response when we're in trouble? Like, just shout out something. What goes on inside of us? What's that? Oh, no. Doubt. Worry. Yep. Because he's writing this for a reason. You got to understand, these scriptures are written for a reason. They're written to people that are going through real life things, that are in real life situations, for a reason. So if he's giving suggestions and commands and ideas, then it must be to combat something else, right? Correct? No? Yes? So our normal natural response when we're in trouble, if you're me, panic, overreact. You guys are all giving me judging eyes. Yeah, I could see that. He'd do that. It's true. Marnie is the calm, cool, collected one. I saw one acorn hit my head. The sky is definitely falling. I have verified proof that the sky is falling, and I'm going to scream about it and throw things around because it's so horrible. Woe is me. I knew, I told you this would happen. Told you if we walked by that tree, the sky is going to fall. Why didn't you listen to me, wife? She's like, it's an acorn. Well, still, it could fall. So that's our normal response, isn't it? That's what we're fighting against. We wrestle against this inside of us, these reactions, and we need to retrain our minds. And if I can be honest with you, just with this house project, and we get in good seasons and in bad seasons. I'm not in a good season right now. I just was having this conversation with me yesterday. Me was with me. I need to retrain my, I need to do some of the stuff that I would tell other people to do. And Dwight is always really good at saying that. He's like, well, he's always challenging me with that. What would you tell other people to do? Well, I'd be like, well, then you need to go and do that. I'm like, you're right. It's true. And I was just thinking, I have so many instantaneous responses these days. Like, I've just allowed myself, mostly just your flesh, you know, and that's also the way, not to get too dramatic, but that's also where the kind of strongholds start. It's where you get in bondage. is not cutting that stuff off and be like, whoa, hold on, that's not who I am. But I haven't been doing the, whoa, that's not, I haven't been doing that part. And so just getting really wrapped up in just the struggles of life lately. I mean, and it's not even bad, but I'm really overreacting a lot. This is a great place to be vulnerable. It's going on the radio, maybe, so the whole world's going to know. But honestly, you only need to be around me for a few minutes to figure it out. So we're working on it, and hopefully the Holy Spirit is working on it. But I had that thought. I need to retrain my mind. We got some instant responses. That's not Christ-like. It's not full of fruit, and there's fruit, but it's not good fruit. So that was my thought process. So James is writing this, and he's saying, if you're in trouble, don't do the normal response. What do we need to do? Does it say it up there? Let him pray. Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Let him pray. How do we pray? God, I don't like this. Amen. We need to really understand. Remember when I had you guys say learn earlier? It's all about that. And if you just come into church being like, yeah, I'm going to hear a good message. Like, we're building tools. We're adding tools. We're constantly adding tools. And if we're not, we should be seeking that out in the Word. And we should be anyways. And with other people. Other people have insights that we can't have. And when you learn to value and honor people that look and smell and talk differently than you do, and you invite them into your lives, you immediately want to say, no, you're wrong. But if you stop and you listen to them and you go, oh, you're just different. Oh, I didn't see it that way. You're right. And you start getting other perspectives on it. So that's a side note. But we need to be coming to church and doing that, rubbing shoulders with people and letting them into our lives so that they can give good counsel, so that they can speak into our lives, and so that we have these tools. And so James says you need to pray. And that's really kind of, oh, well, all right. Well, that's really short. That feels like that fell flat. You ever get to the end of a movie and you're like, oh, really? That's the end? That's what happened? I'm guessing some of the people that were in suffering read that and they're like, is any of you suffering? Oh, brother, we are. He should pray. Okay? All right? No, that's it. That's all there is. Like, no! So if that's our response, then the question is, I wonder what he really meant by pray. Maybe I haven't gotten enough tools in my prayer belt to really, like, really work through these things. And so if you start studying prayer, man, there's all kinds of things about it. It's not just saying, dear God, I'm in trouble, now I lay me down to sleep, amen. You know, there's things where we petition, we ask God for things. This isn't going to be a whole lesson on prayer, but we're just setting the stage for what do we do in situations like this? What do we do when we get a bad report from the doctor? What do we do when the reports seem overwhelming and we start getting in trouble? Maybe no one else here gets overwhelmed. Maybe I should just put this on tape for me. I don't know. But I do. What do we do? So there's the parts where we ask God, but if you, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, holy is your name. What about praise? That's part of prayer. They said, teach us how to pray. Jesus said, I'll teach you how to pray. Start with turning your focus upward. Start with getting your heart in the right mindset. Saying that, God, you are exalted. You're the answer bringer. You are the, you know, you're separate. You're all powerful. You start your prayers with that, and all of a sudden, the next thing that you do, you already have the frame of reference that God is able to solve all these things. Instead of starting right into it to say, oh, God, I need help. I wonder if he really can help me. You've spent some time saying, God, you are the one that can help. And just declaring his goodness, his life, you're faithful, you're full of hope. Get in the Bible, find out, you know, what he says about himself. Because God talks about himself. So then we ask things, and then there's also one that I think that our church is starting to do a lot better. I really do think that we're doing this a lot better. But if you haven't grown up in this, or if this is kind of new to you, you might not know that you have the right to do this. And it's called declaration. Say declaration. You can declare things. You guys have a prophetic spirit. You guys, your spirit by nature is light. It's spirit. And so is the Holy Spirit. And when he comes in you and imparts into you, your words have prophetic power. And so, don't believe me? The Bible says that there's life and death in the power of the tongue, right? Some of that's just natural. You know, you tell someone that they're worthless long enough, it's, you know, naturally it's going to affect them. But there's supernatural power in your tongue. So you can make declarations. And so when we feel something, so here's the normal sequence of events. We hear something, we feel something, we say something. And in my world, we hear something, ooh. We experience or we feel something, ooh. We say something, blah. We're midstream, that needs to be cut off, and we need to align our words with what God is saying. And that's where the declaration part comes in. It's not denying that things are dark in the world, that my situation's bad, that Judy's in the hospital. But we declare that she is healed by the stripes that were on Jesus, according to Isaiah, and through the sacrifice 2,000 years ago. We declare that there is wisdom over doctors, and it's right to ask for that. There's also times where we declare that, and we start speaking. Jesus said, if you say to this mountain, what? Move. What are you doing to the mountain? Saying it, right? Jesus didn't say, if you ask God in this particular circumstance, if you ask God to move the mountain, he'll move it for you. There's just reference after reference where you speak to things. And you do ask God. You have not, James says, because you ask not. So we know we need to ask. Well, which one's right? Yes. They both are. There's different facets to prayer. So we're already only just a couple minutes into this and we're like, did you pray about it? Well, yeah, I prayed about it. Did you pray like that about it? No, not at all. Okay, we can maybe do better and learn and grow and add more tools. Don't feel bad about that. Stop feeling bad about what you don't have. Just get it. Just go get it. We have access to the kingdom of heaven. We have access to a family of believers. We have access to preachers on the internet. We have access to a Holy Spirit who resides within us. Let's just get it. Let's add. And it's a process. And so a lot of times as we're praying, God will reveal stuff to us. There's the moment in prayer where we listen. How many of you guys have ever rushed through your prayers and never taken time to listen? We've got all the way through it. I prayed about it. What did God say? What do you mean? Well, what did he say about it? I don't know. Didn't you say you prayed? Well, yeah, I prayed. What did he say? I don't know even what you're saying to me. It's awkward, and often I fall asleep if I try it. So it works better for me if I'm praying and listening while I'm doing stuff. But as you're praying for things, be responsive, be aware. Remember a couple of Sundays, I think last Sunday and the Sunday before, we talked about that phrase that Marnie prayed before church about seeing the evidences of God. We're looking for these subtle clues about what is God doing? What's he nudging my heart to do? So in the middle of this being in trouble, God could nudge you and, like, tell someone that can give you counsel, say, hey, Dad, I'm really in this thing, and it seems to me like God's saying I need to go tell so-and-so I'm sorry about this. But it wasn't my fault, but it just seems like, and my dad would say, you're right, son, you don't go talk to them. It's not, no, he wouldn't say that. He'd say, you listen to the Holy Spirit, even if it doesn't make sense in your mind. If it's of the will of God, you know, is going and asking for forgiveness, does that fit with what we know about God's character and nature? Yes, it does. So he would say, you need to listen to God. Forget about what your head's telling you about it. So you can get little nudges about what you think you might be able to do and then go ask someone about that. I'm just being really practical. Can I just be really practical? I know you guys maybe have this all figured out. I don't. So I'm just maybe talking through it with you. Because we got a lot of this going on. There's a lot of struggles right now. There's financial struggles. There's emotional struggles. There's relational struggles right now in our church. So what do we do in the middle of all these things? If you're in trouble, pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Now that just seems kind of odd to have in there. Is anyone happy? He should sing songs of praise. saying in every season of your life, make sure to turn it upward. Make sure that you're giving testimony. Make sure that you're giving God glory for what's going on in your life. And let the praise of God just start permeating your life. And that will transition you into the next season when you're back in the first part of that, when you're going through trouble again. Don't forget about God. How many times did Israel go through the happy seasons and they completely forgot about God? And then they'd get in trouble again, and what would it be? Oh, God, oh, help us. I don't know if you guys read the Old Testament, but there was a lot of that. Yay, he's our Redeemer. He rescued us. Okay, Bob, let's go to work. All right, do-ka-do-ka-do. You going to church today? Nope. Not that going to church. You know what I mean. And 2 years later, they're like, our enemies have overtaken us. Because when they were happy, they lost sight of, you know, one of the most dangerous things that can exploit cracks in our armor is affluence. It's true. I don't like hearing that. I don't like saying that. But when things are easy, you can go days without thinking about God. Because it's easy. When you're struggling, it's a lot easier to do that first one. Pray, oh no, help me, God. When you're happy, sing songs of praise. Keep God ever before you. Keep his presence as the focus of your life. Sing praises. Let him invade your space. When you're happy, you don't need anything from him. But you're just praising him because there might be some more trouble coming. And I need the right frame of mind to enter into that one next time. What else does he say here? Is any one of you sick? This Greek word in here for sick, it means mostly means physically sick, but it can mean all kinds of other struggles as well. If you're sick, what do? Call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he'll be forgiven. This prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. He's saying, if you're sick, take responsibility, put some action to your faith, go grab somebody, like just like we were talking about this morning. Make moments like we had this morning. Make those happen. Take responsibility, take ownership of that and say, I need God to invade this right now. I'm going to grab someone to agree with me and to anoint me with oil because God said to. It doesn't seem logical in my head, but it's supernatural, so why should it? So I'm just going to be obedient. I'm going to grab someone to agree with me. We're going to pray, anoint me with oil, you know, whatever. And that prayer of faith, there's power in that to transform the natural by the supernatural. The supernatural then has a right to invade that natural circumstance and bring about change. Amen? So often we're thinking in our prayers, God, get me through this. Or God wants to transform the situation. God wants to step in and see healing. Like I told you earlier when we were out at Bethel, you know, we saw a whole stage full of people that night. It was a Sunday night service that had gotten healed. You know, some of them came through, one of the speakers up there having words. Man, I just sent someone's got a whatever in their back or something. And, you know, is there someone that's got a left? You know, some of it happened like that. Some of it happened as they went up just for general prayer, you know, at the end of the service. Some of them happened just spontaneously. Like, I was just sitting in the service and it just got really hot. And I said, what's happening? And I said, I'm healed. I know I'm healed. So I couldn't step on my leg and I started, you know. There was a guy that was talking and he had led the prayer rooms for a number of years, and that's where they just pray for people. That's what they do. They see sick people healed all the time. And he had led those for years. He was our speaker Sunday night. And he said I'm trying to remember where he was at. I think it was like Brazil or somewhere. They called him down there to do this big conference, and he didn't really do any speaking. So he got down to Brazil or whatever, and he was like one of the featured speakers alongside of like these other big name, and so he's just quaking in his boots and he's just freaking out and he's like, I didn't sign up for this, and scared. And so he's got his notes and he's going to teach them on healing because he does that at Bethel. He's going to teach them on healing, and then he's going to have what they call an activation service, or what, and that's where where we practice, where we just, we lay hands on you and release that gift in you and then let you start, you know, we walk you through it. You know, just like if you're teaching someone to drive a car. All right, now put it in gear. Okay, now push as hard as you can on the pedal. No, wait, that's just in the Estwick house. Schaumburg house. Yes. Jason's like, isn't that how you do it? So they walk through them. So he was going to do that. And so he said it started out really tight and, you know, just people weren't very responsive. And then about a third of the way through or half of the way through, he said, you can just tell, you know, it just started switching and people started responding. And you could just feel that moment where God's just showing up as he always does. So faithful. And he's just talking about his word and his promises. And God shows up pretty soon the crowd's going nuts, and he's like, yeah, I'm really preaching good. What he didn't know is a little girl was on the side, and God had just decided to spontaneously heal her. And so she had fallen off of something and broke her leg. And so as she's standing there listening to this guy talk about healing, she's like, wow, my leg really doesn't hurt at all. So I'm going to put a little pressure on it. So she puts a little pressure on it. She's like, wow. It really doesn't hurt when I put pressure on it. I'm going to walk on it. So she's walking on this cast. She's like, huh, it doesn't hurt at all. And she's like, it really felt, I'm not advocating this, really felt like God was telling her to cut the cast off. So I'm not sure how she did that. I don't know why I wasn't there, but somehow gets the cast off and starts walking on it. She's like, it's completely healed. Gets up on the stage and starts running around. So she's running around behind him. And she was one of the kind of the youth leaders of this whole big conference thing. So everybody knew who she was. So he's out there, nervous as anything, preaching on healing. And there's this little 16-year-old girl or whatever that's running around that they all knew, you know, just the day before or whatever, she had got broken her leg or whatever. I mean, it was really recent. And so she's running around behind him and they're all freaking out. And he's thinking, wow, they must be loving my preaching or whatever. And it was just God sovereignly showing up. But we want to invite that supernatural presence. In 2016, God still heals. Amen? Amen? Yeah. We need to hang on to that. We need to hang on to that promise. We need to hang on. That's why we love this atmosphere where you can share what God's done. Please, if God's doing stuff in your life, we need to hear about it. Because it creates that environment where God feels welcome to do that again. It really does. It's a tool. It's another tool. Like, wow, I noticed when we were talking about that, like everyone got really filled with faith. And I heard later someone got healed. Because you're creating this environment. We're using the tools that we've been given. Is any one of you sick? Call the elders. Anoint with oil. Lord will heal him. If he's sinned, he'll be forgiven. Here's a verse that we talked about in worship. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so you may be healed. Hold on a minute. I have never thought that I was going to preach that verse. Like I'm saying, I only looked at this for the first time this morning, and this was just kind of a last-minute decision to talk about this, so I feel a little unprepared to talk about this right now. But I really feel that in building community, in building a family, in building a place that wants to foster the presence of God and really wants to move in the supernatural, really wants to see people that came in on Sunday and they were stuck in life, walk out on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and come back Wednesday night and say, my life is completely different. These last 3 days have been something that I have never even dreamt that I could live like. I feel so free in my life, or I feel so pain-free, or my relationship with my wife or my daughter or my has been so restored. I don't even know what happened. And I believe that you guys are people that want to live like that, and you want to see that happen in this place. And part of that comes by what we talked about this morning. It was by people coming up front and being vulnerable, being willing to not hide, being willing to expose things in their life. And what a great way to do that. Now, if you just take that verse out of context, and you're just like, Bible says you need to confess your sins one another. What'd you do this week, Hannah? I don't know why it sounds southern I'm not sure. I have no response for that. That's not what it's intended for. It's intended for fostering an environment of honor and love and family where we can share our sins with one another, where we can share our sicknesses with one another. And God shows up in the middle of that and starts restoring relationships. And he starts changing hearts. And he starts healing marriages. And he starts healing families. And he starts healing bodies. And he starts equipping people to do that outside of these walls. That's so much cooler than just showing up for an hour and leaving. It's harder. It's messier. But we love seeing transformed lives. I'm passionate about this. Passionate about most things that I'm passionate about. If that makes any sense. Someone asked me the other night, who was the youth pastor before you? And I said, no one. Well, who did you replace? I said, nobody. So you didn't have a youth pastor before you? I said, no, I've always been. What? Well, how long have you been the youth? I said, well, since we started, you know, in 94 or whatever it was. Really? I always thought there was just some old guy that you replaced and then you were kind of like the new. I said, no. So in 22 years of being in the same church, in the same position, do you think that I've ever had discouraging days where you pour your life into someone and you go, Marnie and I, if we've had one, we've had 100, are we doing any good? I mean, I've had this conversation with Alan. How many times? Are we doing any good here? Are we affecting anything? Are we changing any lives? Are we doing anything? And the answer is always the same. You're doing good. You're doing good. You don't always see the results. You don't always see what's going to happen. But I'm passionate about seeing lives changed. I don't want to see people that were stuck 2 years ago be stuck today. And if that means we've got to sing a little longer or open up our altars, I don't care what it's going to take. I want God to invade lives. He's alive. He's on the throne. He's moving. He's supernatural. He's powerful. What do we need to do to get heaven to invade earth? What do I have to do to get heaven to invade my circumstances? I don't have the answer, but I'm pursuing it. We're going to find out together. We saw a glimpse of it today, and we're pursuing wherever. It's like a hunting dog. Oh, there. You know, seriously, when I get a sniff of his presence and I see what he's doing, I'm like, I want to be there. That's okay, everybody, it's over here. Do you know what I mean? I'm serious. And often that's how God gets stirs up in the midst of people. Because it doesn't work the same way every time. In 22 years, you don't think we've tried formulas? And there's some good things that are always going to kind of work the same way, but you can't corner the Holy Spirit like that. So I just think, I don't know, this is speculation, I just think the Holy Spirit says, I'm going to go show up over there in this kind of way today. I'm going to see what they do with that. And often it just goes unnoticed, I think. Speculation. But I notice that when we turn our attention towards what God's doing, that more of it happens. That's what I've learned. So, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you might be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. I think, the more that we walk in family, the more we walk in community, the more we walk in vulnerability and get some of this stuff exposed. And we're not going to have Confess Your Sin Sunday where you come and just stand up here. Do you know what I mean? There's right platforms for this stuff to be done. And we've spent years here building the foundation of honor, building the foundation. We've not always been good at it. We get back on the horse, we go, all right, we go again. That was pretty fleshly. Woofta. Yuck. All right. Sorry, God. Okay, how can we honor better? How can we praise better? How can we worship better? How can we love better? All right, let's build this. Let's build this, create this environment, this culture of family and of relationship and of honor. I would love to have a place, and that's the goal we're walking towards. I would love to have a place so rich with the presence of God and so rich with relationships that people that are broken just walk in here and they're like, what is this? And we've had that happen. We've had that happen multiple times. They walk in and what in the world is going on here? You guys love and you honor one another and what is that? I want that in my life. I'm a Christian, I don't even know who Jesus is or whatever, but I want that in my life. I want even people that have been Christ followers for their entire life to walk in this place, and it's so rich with honor and love that they walk back out and they're going, okay, can you four come and talk to me? Because I need to go figure out how to treat my kids differently. Like, what in the world am I seeing here? There's so much more than, I thought it was just about memorizing verses and which is good and going to church. What I see here is different. And that's my prayer. That's my heart for this place. And I know what Pastor and Stephen, the leadership team, just want to see that as well. And that's what this book of James, that's the context that it's written in. Confess your sins to one another. Well, who's one another? It's the people that we've walked through the trenches with. It's the people that we honor. It's the people that we would die for. It's the people that we love and care. It's the people that it's okay to be vulnerable with. It's the people that when you share that stuff, they go, I'm not comfortable hearing that. You know, we're honest. Like, all right, how are we going to walk through this together? What, just give me a second to catch my breath. Hoofta. All right, hold on. All right. Okay, well, let's pray. Because that's what you do when you don't know what else to say. Let's pray. Oh, God, help. Because we don't have to wear masks and we don't have to put on a front. And I think the church that looks like that, I think is going to have profound effect on our communities and our, because no one else is doing relationships like that. Nobody else is doing relationships like that. Nobody else is doing relationships like that. If they are, show it to me. It's not out there. It's ugly. And it's the natural result of sin just snowballing. That's why we need to be light. We can't settle for just telling people that sin is wrong without giving them an example of kingdom. You can't just keep walking up to someone and say, that house is crooked and your walls are dumb and your paint is ugly. I'm doing the best I can. What should I do? I don't know, but it is crooked. See you tomorrow. That's not what we're called to do. We're called to live out a supernatural display of kingdom. Kingdom is so rich in this place, in our relationships, that man, I just blew it this week. I pulled someone aside. I told them how I messed up and how sinful it was, and my shoulder's been hurt, and they prayed for me, and I got healed. Yeah. Kingdom. Honoring one another, loving one another. And it's not easy. And then he goes in and talks about Elijah, and he just talked about that supernatural power. He was a man just like us, and he prayed earnestly. So I think what he's saying is he's comparing you guys to the power of Elijah. Like that same Holy Spirit is in, he's giving them that really vivid example. And I just want to end with this last part. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. He's saying, pursue people's hearts. Man, chase them down. Chase them down in the good times. Chase them down in the bad times. Be so connected with people's hearts that you won't let go. And I'm just so thankful to be a part of a place where that's starting to happen. We just want to see God transform lives. We can't in 2016 settle for being a powerless, loveless church. We can't. We can't do it. We can't do it. but we don't have to do it. That's the cool part. That's the cool part. We don't have to settle for that. We have access to everything that Jesus paid for. We have access to heaven. And we have a mandate from God to bring heaven to earth, to be agents of change and transformation here on earth, in our businesses, in our schools, in our workplaces, in our homes, in our 4-H meetings, in wherever we are rubbing shoulders with people. They should know more than we just believe something different. Because we do. They should know that we carry something different. We talk about people in a different way. We do marriage differently. We do family differently. What are you guys doing? That is so weird. Teach me. Right? That's so dumb. How do you do that? I want to know. Because inside of everyone that you want to get on their case and is annoying you and is totally full of evil, and inside of every one of them is a longing for the kingdom of God to be expressed on this earth. It's a longing to know Christ. Inside of them, their empty spirit is longing to know, is there someone that loves them in spite of the nastiness they're putting out? Is there someone that can show them, not just tell them, show them truth? We've gotten really good at telling truth. There's a place for that. There really is. We've gotten really good at telling truth. We've really just scratched the surface of showing truth. Here's the truth of what real love looks like. Here's the truth of what honor looks like. Here's the truth of what faithfulness looks like. That's truth. That's truth. Let me show you truth. I know you've heard it. Let me show you. And that's the truth. God, I just pray for this people. I pray that you would position our hearts to hunger after the things of God like we never have before. I pray for anyone who's discouraged today that you would just give them a spirit of encouragement, God. I just pray that we would learn how to build richer, deeper, fuller relationships, God. That we would learn how to foster your presence, God. Carry your presence from this altar, from this stage, from these seats, from these Sunday school rooms, out into where we live and walk and work, because we didn't leave you in this church, Holy Spirit. You came with us. Help us to put you on display. Help us to be the image of Christ that everyone's longing to see. Help us to show people truth. Help us to speak of the goodness of God. Bless us. Give us a great weekend. Be with Judy and Pastor. Let their lives be full of praise reports. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Have an awesome weekend.